Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The PropCast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, Arizona, and coming soon, Louisiana. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $10 and get $200 in free bets. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. We're also brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-belt grooming. Head over to manscaped.com and use promo code SGP for 20% off of your order and free shipping. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all our free picks and podcasts.
And Peggy the shot, the ground down, bailed. He makes the catch, and he gets in for the touchdown. The catch is made by Calvin Ridley.
Wilson, as he throws deep.
Welcome, everyone, to the PropCast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, January 26th, currently 12:37 on the East Coast. And joining me to break down the NBA player props for this Wednesday night schedule, it's my main man, the man that does it both on and off the court for SGPN, Scott Reichel. Scott, how you feeling this Wednesday afternoon, buddy?
It feels pretty good. To be honest, I kind of pivoted my actual plays to college during the early part of the week, so that's been going well. But as for the NBA, not really much to add. I've had a little bit on the Lakers yesterday, so I can't say I'm that disappointed. It was a good spot for them. The Nets without Durant and Harden Durant and Kyrie, yep, don't exactly look good. So I wasn't surprised that with Anthony Davis, the Lakers responded. I'm not going to overreact to it, but as a whole, it's been going pretty well. How's it going with you?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. I know we had some discussions offline yesterday, and when I recorded the pod with Zach on Monday evening for the Tuesday games, we're leaning towards the Nets, but then I also told you I kind of dug more into it. And then, you know, you've been harping on this when we talked about the Nets, that there's not much around this roster outside of the big three. And especially when you don't have two out of the big three, there's going to be a significant drop off. So I got on the Lakers, and then also was on the Spurs last night as well. Just because it always feels good to know when to fade your team in the right spots. And I think both of us were spot on with that yesterday. So put separate bets on them, also parlayed together. So that was a pretty good night as well for as far as sides.
I did have a bit of a bad beat though yesterday. I had Jokic to record a triple-double and the Nuggets to win. And I'm trying to get the exact price that I had. I had it in a parlay, but I'm trying to remember. Every now and then I'll throw in a little amount on a couple of player props, go for some long shots.
Yeah.
Try to hit a 100-1 parlay or something. I don't know. But, you know, just a chip in a chair. You got a dream. But Jokic didn't get there, man. He had, I forgot what it was. He had 8 assists, I think, through 3 quarters, and he only had 9 in the end.
Yeah. I had the over in this game, and this closed at around 217.
What do you have? 30?
I got it at 28
points in the fourth quarter, 33 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they combined for 33 in the fourth quarter, 13 for the Denver Nuggets and 20 for the Detroit Pistons. I don't want to get into it again. I'm still sour about it. But yeah, Jokic had, a great night last night, 28, 21, but one assist shy of the triple-double.
It was plus 350 for a triple-double and the Nuggets to win.
Oh, man. That hurts, man. Yeah. And especially, I think tonight might be a night where you might want to be right back at it with Jokic and the triple-double and the Nuggets to win. But
Well, I do want to ask you something, though.
Since yeah, go ahead.
We both had action on the game. Did you watch any of that game, or were you watching the Lakers-Nets game?
I was actually – I caught the tail end of this Pistons and the Nuggets game. I didn't – like, I watched, like, the final minute just because I needed the over. I was like, what the hell is going on? But would you have thoughts on it?
Well, I was only going to ask because Cade went nuts last night.
Yeah.
He had 34-8-8. And I know Mobley is the favorite, as he should be, to win Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. I don't want to turn this into a full Rookie of the Year conversation, but since it is the prop cast, I want to ask.
Yeah.
Do you think that Cade is now undervalued when it comes to looking at his Rookie of the Year price?
I think if he's able to continue, I mean, not drop 34 points a night, yeah, obviously.
It's a big if, but I am curious because you know that when it comes to these awards, Cade's going to get a lot more recognition.
Yes.
Than Evan Mobley in the media markets just because of the fact that Cade was the number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I am curious, since Detroit has nothing to play for and Cade has the ball in his hands all the time, if you think that maybe the markets have, let's just say, given a little bit too much respect to Mobley and there should be a bit more on Cade.
I think so, especially like you said, like that they have nothing to play for, but he's been consistent over the last 2 months here, exactly averaging 17.9 points per game, shooting well from the free throw line.
Now, I would give it to Mobley. Like, I don't think it's a debate right now, but if you want to make the argument trying to find a value play right around the All-Star break or a little bit before it, I do think taking Cade, we've seen Mobley get it injured already this season.
Uh-huh.
And we saw how that has impacted the award shifting for, let's just say, Draymond Green for Defensive Player of the Year. It just takes one injury, and next thing you know, the odds completely shift. So if Mobley gets injured again, or the fact that Mobley, even though the Cavaliers are really, really good, and he's a big reason why, Garland gets a lot of recognition now because he's a walking double-double. Yeah. Jared Allen might be an all-star. I am curious if Mobley gets overshadowed by the quality players around him, while Detroit seems to just be force-feeding Cade into a bunch of stats every night.
Yeah, and I think another point for the Cavs might be that, do we think that J.B. Bickerstaff's going to win Coach of the Year?
And if this team, it's going to be Monty Williams, but I think that he'll come in second place.
Yeah, so I think that if – I'm kind of the type of person or better that thinks that if – I don't think two awards could go to the same team. So I think that there is a little bit of value on right now Cade Cunningham to get Rookie of the Year. Especially at plus 750, man. I mean, Evan Mobley,
that seems like a steal to me.
Yeah. And you're not going to bet minus 225 right now on Evan Mobley. He is the betting favorite, but, you know, if he's able to creep up to 20 points per game and, you know, continue to be consistent from the 3-point line, he's a great free throw shooter. He's at about 85% for the season. He's shooting 38% from 3-point land, 40% last month. So, I think the value is there. The conversation is there for him to grab some value there, especially with Mobley now upwards of minus 220, minus 225 as Rookie of the Year. Yeah. So, yeah.
He's averaging 16-5-5.
Yeah.
Of course, there's some decimals in there, but still rounding down to the whole number.
Yeah.
I do think that if Cade could bump it to maybe 17.5 and 1-6 in there, either 6 rebounds or 6 assists, it's going to be really tough to not give serious consideration to a guy averaging 17-6-5.
Yeah.
I just feel like you'd automatically have to be in consideration. Now, I know his field goal percentage is awful. He's shooting 40.8 this season. A lot of that was the early season struggles.
Yeah.
So I do think that if he can finish strong, like he has for the last really just month, and you can project him to continue that pace for the rest of the season, I think he should be right there with Mobley. I would still give it to Mobley, assuming Mobley stays healthy and everything. But I do think that you said plus 750.
Yes.
Barnes, I like as a player. He's not, he has no chance. Nobody's talking about Scottie Barnes anymore.
Yeah.
So what other candidates do you have?
Franz Wagner is now the significant drop off after Cade Cunningham at 15-1, and then it's Josh Giddey 20-1 after
and
that.
And what's Barnes at?
Plus 450. He's a second.
Okay. So my question for you, do you think there's any chance Barnes actually wins the award? Because I don't.
I don't think so. I think what you just said, that there's nobody really talking about him, kind of.
Been overshadowed by Van Vliet being an all-star, and you got Pascal who's playing really well. Like, I don't know how people give recognition. It also doesn't help that he plays in Canada. No offense, but the American markets don't exactly care that much about Canada.
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's why Toronto was underrated the whole year with Kawhi when they won the title. It's because American markets didn't want to give them respect they deserved.
Right.
So I do think that the fact that he plays internationally, that's what I'm going to call it, I think that's going to hurt him. But I was going to ask if you wanted to place a bet right now. I know you said Mobley's not worth it right now at minus 220 something, and I do agree. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's worth to set up an arbitrage where you take Mobley and Cade for guaranteed profit? Because I really don't see how Barnes is going to win the award. It seems like right now it's a two-horse race.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's going to be Mobley or Cade. Barnes, like, I think that the media's been talking more about Franz Wagner than Scotty Barnes.
And they're not giving it to somebody in Orlando, but that's just a true testament to how little they care about Toronto.
Exactly. So I think, you're right. It's between those two guys, between Mobley and Cade. I would probably put down on Cade right now if he continues. And like you said, I've been looking at his stats right now as you've been talking about Cade, and gradually you're right that he's been getting better and better as the months kind of progress here, especially his shooting percentage went from about 37% up to 42%. And this month he's about 45.5%. Mm-hmm. So that continues to get better. Yeah. I think that, this is an award market to definitely keep an eye out for sure.
He's the only reason why ESPN shows highlights of Pistons games.
Yeah, I think rightfully so too, right? I mean, he had a great game last night against the Denver Nuggets. He scored 34, 8-8. Previous game against Utah, he had 25 points. So I think that if he's able to increase that scoring average,
saying around 17, 18.
Definitely. I think that the value at plus 750 is definitely there for Cade Cunningham. So last night, we were having a conversation on what you kind of wanted to get off your chest. I'm going to leave this as an intro. 35 is the number. So I'll give you the floor here, Scott. What are we getting off your chest this week?
So we got to talk about a team here that was doing really well in the Eastern Conference early on. I believe they were the one seed for about, 12 hours or so, 20-something hours, and then
something like that.
They've fallen off a cliff, and Terrell and I talked about this team going through the updated win totals or the live win totals during the season, and I liked the under on the updated line for the Wizards, and now we got to talk about them because they are falling apart, and you look at what happened yesterday. They're playing the Clippers at home. They're up 35 with about 49 seconds left in the second quarter. No Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard. And the Wizards lost the game. They just straight up blew a 35-point lead. Beal fouled Kennard on a three-point shot that went in with, like, I forgot what it was, 1 second left or something. Still not sure what Beal was doing. He just let Kennard walk up to the three-point line. You should have fouled him when he crossed half court, but, that's just me. Mm-hmm. Kuzma's putting up numbers. The issue for me, which I'm sure people will get a bit offended by if you're a big Bradley Beal guy, I don't know if he's a winning player. And I feel like people are going to defend him because of all the 50-point games he's had, because of all of the shooting ability he has. What has he ever won? And are we sure that he's actually a number one on a team? Because I think there's no chance he's a number one on an actual contending team.
So about Bradley Beal?
Yeah. I think that his defensive numbers are so bad that it offsets everything he does offensively. And he needs to be a Robin. He's not good enough to be a Batman.
No, he's not. And I think that we've talked about this even, I think when we were previewing the NBA season, that Bradley Beal is a guy that you probably... I like even when John Wall was there, Scott, that he was the Robin. He wasn't the Batman at that point. And I think that for him to win a championship, he's going to have to be a Robin, maybe even a third guy, possibly, like, depending on where he ends up. But
I don't even mean win a title. I mean, can he be a Batman on a team that actually wins a playoff series?
No,
I don't even know.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Look, Bradley Beal is a great player, right? I think that he is a top 25 player, but I don't think he is capable of.
I don't think he makes his teammates better.
Yeah, and I think that he's a good Robin, maybe to a guy next to like Damian Lillard. I'm just throwing names out there. I think that's the type of guy that he would have to be next to for him to be.
I would take the overs if they were the backcourt for.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, and I agree with you that he's not going to be the Batman to a team to win a playoff series.
I think that for the rest of the team, Kuzma's been great. I don't know if you want to keep Kuzma or you want to blow the entire thing up and flip him. This is probably the highest trade value that Kuzma's ever had. So I don't know what you can get for him. Easily a first. The question is, can you get multiple picks? You might be able to. I really don't know. It seems like Kuzma is really the perfect stretch four in today's NBA, just how he's rebounding the ball.
Yeah.
But you're looking at Beal, and every single game, he'll drop 25 to 30. We know that he has the ability to average 30 points per game for a season, but he's had injury issues in the past. It hasn't been as common recently, but that is always a concern. And if he's not going to drop, let's just say, 30-plus points a game, which he kind of needs to even be, in my opinion, a top 25 player, I think he's an elite scorer in the NBA. When you say he's a great player, I don't know if he actually is, because he's quite one-dimensional.
Defense wins you championships, as they say, right? And I think that...
Well, it's also passing and rebounding. I mean, he's a great scorer. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And we've seen, like, consistently throughout his career where he's been able to average, what, 20-plus points in every single season that he's played. But I think a true Batman, like you mentioned, makes his teammates better, or, you know, is a great passer as well as a leader. And I just don't see that from Bradley Beal, right? I think that the biggest question for Washington is going to be, what direction do they kind of want to go in? Because I think that Terrell hit the nail on the head at the beginning of the season, where he said that, hey, they just kind of put together a squad to play some pickup basketball, like in a random gym. That's what it kind of feels like for the Washington Wizards. So I think when the offseason kind of comes around, it's going to be – they got to figure out what direction they want to go in, whether that's going to be on the back of Bradley Beal. Do you want to trade him? I mean, we've heard other trade rumors come across for the Washington Wizards on players that are available for trade. Like, they have this youth movement with, like, Rui Hachimura and Danny Avdija. Kyle Kuzma, you could throw in there. Is that the direction you want to go? And then are you going to trade Bradley Beal, Montrezl Harrell, to some of the older veterans on this team? So I think that's the biggest question right now for the Washington Wizards.
Well, if you're a GM, I'm assuming you would probably trade Beal in the offseason, right? Like, I don't know what the point is of keeping him. Beal still has a lot of recognition and a lot of cachet. He could probably get you two firsts. I think one team would gamble, a playoff contending team. It might be back end of the first round, but you'd still get draft capital. And I do think that if you're the Wizards and you know Beal cannot be your best player, if you're going to compete for anything or even just make it to the second round, then you have a hodgepodge group of guys who I agree are kind of like a pickup basketball team. They're a talented pickup basketball team, but there's really no cohesion involved.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if there's no real immediate future. You have a first-year head coach in Wes Unseld Jr., who I think is pretty good despite the choke job yesterday. Mm-hmm. What's the point? Wizards are going to have to go through a serious rebuild within the next couple of years. It feels that way, which is why you've started to see a bit of a youth movement.
Mm-hmm.
How does Beal fit any of those plans?
He doesn't. I think that Beal has been, over the last several seasons, Scott, a very hot name that's been in trade rumors. But he's always came out and said the right things, that he wants to stay in Washington and be in Washington. But I think it's going to come to a point where either he's going to have to make that decision, or the front office is going to have to say, we're going to go in a different direction, that we want to have this youth movement that we have, get draft picks and let you go win a title, or be at least get into the playoffs with another team and trade you and try to get more draft assets, whether, like you said, that's either if it's back into the draft or whatever that case might be. So I think that it's not too shocking or bold prediction to say that this might be the last season for Bradley Beal in a Washington Wizards uniform.
I think loyalty is a great thing, of course, for superstars to have when you're a franchise that's a bit of a small market.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of, for example, you mentioned the backcourt. We joked about the defense. Damian Lillard. And Portland, of course, is grateful that he's been so loyal over the years. He hasn't tried to pull an AD and force himself out when it was kind of a... I don't want to say it's kind of just a rude move to do, but you know, it is what it is. But at some point, you got to just realize what you have. And you can look at Portland for comparison. They have McCollum, they have Nurkic, they have pieces. They've won a couple playoff series. They've been to the Western Conference Finals. Has the Lillard McCollum team ever been good enough to seriously compete for a title? And the answer is no. Because they got swept by Golden State.
Yeah.
Twice, right? Did they make it to one Western Conference final or two?
I think they made it to one for sure.
They made it to one. I remember Golden State swept them. They blew a lead in basically every game. But the point is, it's a good story. I think that it's nice when athletes don't just jump ship to ring chase. Mm-hmm. But if you're the franchise and the player wants $40, $50 million with the increasing salary cap, and he's not going to help you actually win a title because your team's just not good enough and you can't attract enough quality free agents to surround him with elite talent, then what's the point?
Yeah. Do you think a backcourt of Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard makes sense, or is there a trade to be had there?
I don't think it would make sense for either team, just because I don't think defensively they'd be good enough to win a championship either. Plus, Lillard's up there in years.
Yeah.
So that would take a pretty big risk to acquire him with a couple years, because if you end up acquiring Lillard and you put him with Beal, if it could go south really quickly. And if it does, you're going to be trading one of the two for pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. It seems like you're just committed until the contract expires, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I think that Damian Lillard, that, again, came out on the offseason, said all the right things, that, hey, he wants to be in Portland, but it's going to come to a point where he's going to want to go to a contending team and be traded, or just ask Portland to pay him $50 million a year to be there and just finish out the rest of his career and just collect the bag.
Well, I'll ask you, if you're Portland's GM, Lillard, of course, has been the most influential player that you've had probably since Brandon Roy. I think that's a fair statement.
Sure.
Now, the question that I have is, as a GM, would you continue to pay Lillard $50+ million until he retires or whatever? You have the all-time loyalty angle. You retire his jersey in the rafters, but you don't win anything. Or do you ship him now for a couple of picks and pray you hit a, let's just say, a royal flush with the first round picks you might acquire there? So I don't know if you would keep Lillard and just try to sell tickets. I like to win championships. And I do think that if your team's that far away with all of the pieces that you currently have that might be a little bit difficult to move, I think Lillard and McCollum should both be moved, because I don't know what the point is of keeping them. You're not good enough to win.
Yeah, I would move. I would move Lillard, because we can say his stock is still at, it's still high.
Yeah, right? it's not as high as it once was, but it's still high.
I mean, as the years progress, that's only going to depreciate. But I think that since they have a new head coach right now with Chauncey Billups, you just want to wipe the clean slate, just thank Damian Lillard for what he's done for you, for the organization.
Do Lillard and Billups even get along? Because I know that Lillard promoted the hiring of Billups during the offseason.
Yeah.
It looked like they hated each other during the entire season. It looks like the entire team didn't really like Chauncey Billups, I'm being honest with you.
I'm not sure if that was the right hire for the Portland Trail Blazers. Or
have you noticed that too? It seems like a lot of players just really don't like playing for Billups.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And it's such a difficult conversation, I guess, for lack of better words, to find a player that absolutely loves a coach or a new hire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think it's going to be a very interesting offseason, Scott. We threw out the names with Bradley Beal, with, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, James Harden, we could throw into that list as well, the reports that are coming out about him. So,
he doesn't have to worry about it, because the Nets will only keep Kyrie or Harden. So he's not going to have to worry about playing with Kyrie that much longer.
Yeah. So again, it's going to be a very interesting offseason to see where kind of these players end up, or what the decisions are going to be made by front offices.
Would you trade a Lillard potentially? I know that some people aren't exactly big fans of this player because he hasn't played all year. Would you trade Lillard or McCollum for Ben Simmons? He's a lot younger.
I think you kind of have to because of the age, right?
That's what I was saying. Because Portland, I'm making the argument they might need a full rebuild. So if you want to go through a younger core, I know Simmons isn't the most liked guy because of the current disappearing act that he's had, but still, he's one of the best defensive players in the league, and he's still a very solid floor general. We know he can't shoot, but he does everything else well.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious at some point if Portland decides, we have a bunch of older assets, I'd say the era's over. It's time to prepare for the future. And I feel like Simmons is a guy you could get who's still, I don't even know how old Simmons is at this point. What is he, 24, 25?
He's 25.
Okay, so he still has a bunch of years left before potentially even reaching his prime.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty good spot where you could get a Simmons and make him look really good or even just keep him and see what happens and maybe flip him a couple years down the road. But I do think it's worth mentioning. Are you that low on Ben Simmons, by the way? I know the personality wise, you know, he's not exactly a guy you'd want to deal with because it seems like it's either his way or he just basically rage quits the operation. But I am curious if you think that he might be worth trading for if you're Portland, because the older core is clearly not going to cut it anymore.
Yeah, I think number one for Portland, that obviously you do get a lot younger with Ben Simmons and the youth movement that you have there. For me, about Ben Simmons is,
I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah, I'm not a Ben Simmons. Look, defensively great player, but it's a jump shooting league. And when you're one of your two best players, and I'm talking about Philly right now, in Ben Simmons, that number one, he can't make a jump shot, he can't hit free throws. That doesn't equate to me as a number one or even a number two guy on a roster, right?
Like, can you use him as like a small ball 0.5?
Like a Draymond possibility? Green. Like he's
like a Draymond or even a LeBron. I can't compare him to LeBron, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Smaller lineups. Can he play a five?
I think he could help. He's 6'11".
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I do think you could create a, I don't want to say like a Death Star lineup where it's Golden State quality, but I do think if you put Simmons at a five and you surround him with a bunch of shooters, you could create a pretty dangerous lineup in terms of mismatches.
Yeah, I think he's very, very like Draymond Green-esque. Like no jump shot. Like he defensively great. He could run your offense for you. Get all the, you know, get your offense flowing. Get the guys in the right spot. But for me, for Ben Simmons, like it's a jump shooting league. You got to have to make a jump shot sooner or later. And if you can't even hit free throws, then you know you're no good to me. So
I'm not a big Ben Simmons guy, but I do.
But I think you have to make that trade.
I think the hate has gotten so strong that I actually think Simmons has flipped from overrated to underrated.
I think it's the fact that how the things have kind of transpired in Philly, where that hate's kind of coming from.
Ben Simmons is completely wrong. I'm not justifying any of his actions. He disappeared in the playoffs and then he physically disappeared from the team. So I'm not defending Ben Simmons. I'm just saying he was so hated on for that Atlanta series that nobody wanted anything to do with him. He's still a solid NBA point guard. And I do feel like because of all the hate and because of the recency bias, he's a bit underrated now because people forget about all the good things he did before the awful Atlanta series. That's my point.
Yeah. Do you think he'll be back this season?
No. I think Simmons is done. I don't know why he would come back because Philly, with Embiid potentially winning MVP, doesn't look like they've really missed him that much.
Yeah.
Now, do I think Philly's going to win the championship? Of course not. No. They don't have enough talent around him.
Yeah.
I don't even know what assets they have when it comes to creating a better supporting cast, unless they actually find a way to ship Simmons off, which is not going to happen. Nobody's going to take him midway through the season.
Yeah.
And I do think that Philly's kind of just stuck and hoping Embiid can carry them somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably the second round. But are they going to beat Milwaukee in a playoff series? No. Are they going to beat Brooklyn? Maybe. I don't know. Will they beat Miami? I'd say no. I think Miami's too good. Too well-rounded. I think Philly's probably the third or fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. But do I think Simmons coming back would make them a title contender? No. So I don't really know what you do if you're Philly.
Yeah, again, another player to add to that list for the offseason moves with Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum.
That's why I brought up Simmons, because you mentioned all the names, but Simmons, of course, is one of the main names.
Yeah, 100%. So I think that right now for Philly, it's all going to be about getting Joel Embiid the MVP. Like, you know, you're not going to be able to make any, you know, noise in the playoffs. Maybe you get.
Do you think if
round.
Simmons comes back, they're good enough to actually win a title? Because I definitely do not.
No. I mean, they had him last season and Atlanta beat him. And Ben Simmons just was an absolute no-show. And it's going to take, like, Ben Simmons hasn't played a game. Obviously, he hasn't played any games this season. It's going to mess up the chemistry of the team.
Yeah.
It's going to take him a while to get up to game speed. And at that point, it might be a little too late. And again, I think that the pure talent that we talk about on this Philly roster is just not there to win a championship. So
you think I trust Doc Rivers in multiple 7-game series?
No, but do you trust Daryl Morey to construct a championship roster?
See, Morey, I'm torn with, because the truth is that Houston team that lost to Golden State in 7, that missed 27 straight three-pointers, they probably win the championship in like 90-something% of the seasons. Like, they were a really, really good team. Like, I can't blame Morey there. then he tried to get even more invested. But he was against one of the greatest dynasties of all time. I'm not going to criticize him for constantly losing to Golden State. Yeah. I mean, Golden State had the crazy comeback. They got Durant. What are you supposed to do? You just lose. So yeah. I'm not going to blame Morey. I also am curious if he's handled the Simmons situation correctly, because he's clearly asking for way too much. But you don't want to admit that your number one trade asset is worth 50% of what he used to be worth. So yeah. I don't know what he's supposed to say, you know?
He wants the James Harden haul that he got from Houston. But if you kind of take a look at what the haul was, it really wasn't that exciting for the Houston Rockets. Like, James Harden pretty much forced his way out of Houston.
The point is, Morey's completely overvaluing Simmons, but yeah. Isn't that what you're supposed to do as a business person when you're trying to get rid of an asset? You can't say, he's okay, a little rough around the edges. No, you want to say he's the greatest player of all times. So you can get a potential extra pick.
Yeah, and we heard the trade rumors about Ben Simmons to the Sacramento Kings about
Halliburton. But not even Halliburton. Would you do Simmons for, like, Fox?
Yeah.
I would.
I would, too. I love De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, he's a great player. I love watching him play. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA. So I think he would be a great addition to the Philadelphia 76ers. And again, Sacramento, another team that has a team that probably needs to start going in a different direction and just wipe the slate clean and start all over. And I think Ben Simmons would probably be a pretty good starting piece there. Anything else, Scott, before we get into our player props for this Wednesday night schedule?
Well, we had a discussion about who was going to be the team I roasted. It's going to be of course, it was the Wizards.
Yeah.
The other contestant was actually De'Aaron Fox's team. Now, coincidentally, Fox did not play last night. They lost by 53 to the Celtics. That's the largest home win in Celtics history. This isn't a good Celtics team.
Yeah.
So let's just be clear on that. But the Kings, another team I know you love the win total under, because why would Sacramento ever do anything good?
Yeah.
Basketball related. it's another situation where you can just talk about. I mentioned trading Lillard and company. Those are the older guys. Even for the younger guys, it looks like Halliburton's the player you should try to build around, because when Fox was out, he just walked into 20-12 every night.
Yeah.
Fox doesn't seem like he has really any future with this team.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious how quickly you just trade him.
I think the sooner the better, obviously. But I mean, last night, if you just look at that box score for the Sacramento, it's just nasty. Like, they were, 30% from the field? We only had one player in double figures, which is
Buddy Hield. They were down 33 at the half.
Yeah, and it took Buddy Hield to get into double figures off of 14 shots. But
he was the only player in double figures.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was saying. They only had, 36 points from their starters last night. Scrap it away. This is one bad game. Move on. Yeah, they have a game tonight, so you got to have a short memory. Scott, let's do this. Let's take a quick break here, bud, and then we'll jump into our player props for this Wednesday night schedule in the NBA.
Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive reward right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WynnBET is now beginning pre-registration for the state of Louisiana. Place a $10 bet, and regardless of the outcome, you'll receive $250 in free bets when WynnBET goes live in Louisiana. All other new customers have a chance to get $200 in free bets with the same $10 bet. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family's jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the exclusive offer for you. It's 20% off your entire order and free worldwide shipping with promo code SGP at manscaped.com.
If my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls. Guys, make sure to get Manscaped, the precision package, the lawnmower 4.0. Guys, Valentine's Day is coming up. Whether you got to impress the lady, obviously either your wife, your girlfriend, or a special lady friend. Look, nobody likes being in the rough, right? It's a golf term. Nobody likes being in the rough. We like being in the fairway. It's smooth. It's clean. So make sure to head over to manscaped.com. Check out the performance package and get 20% off of your entire order. 20% off. And just make sure to use that promo code SGP. You'll get 20% off. You'll get free worldwide shipping. And Manscaped is where it's at right now, guys. We got to take care of ourselves as well. So make sure Valentine's Day is coming up, or you have that special date coming up. You're getting close to that third date threshold. You guys know what I'm talking about. So you want to make sure you're clean and you're ready to go. So make sure to head over to manscaped.com and use promo code SGP. All right, coming off of the break, let's jump into these player props for this schedule tonight. Scott, I'll give you the floor first, buddy. What's your first player prop?
So I actually have to ask you a question. Sure. Because I have an option of 2-for-1 player, and I'm not going to give out both, but I do want to ask, what's the maximum amount of juice I'm allowed to lay on a prop?
I've given out minus 155 when I took Jaren Jackson Jr. to get over 2.5 steals and blocks, and I didn't mind laying the juice on that. So
okay, so I was asking because mine's minus 140, okay. But if that was too much, I would have given out an alternative one that was like minus 105. So starting off, I'm going to go with the Suns game against the Jazz, and I'm looking at Bismack Biyombo, over 10.5 rebounds at minus 140 on really just a couple of sites. But main reasons why, Ayton and McGee are both out.
Yep.
So Phoenix has Biyombo and Jalen Smith. That's pretty much it. Biyombo's been really good lately. He's recorded at least 13 rebounds in 3 of the last 4 games. And they just played against Utah, and he recorded 16 points and 13 rebounds. So Utah couldn't really stop him with Gobert being out. I just saw Whiteside struggle with him, so I expect a similar script in this one. But 10.5 rebounds at minus 140 for a guy who's pretty much the only center they have on the team right now. Thanks a lot. I'm taking that all day, every day.
Yeah, when we were talking about this game this morning, I was like, that front court is depleted for the Phoenix Suns without Ayton and McGee. And
Biyombo's always been a good rebounder.
Yeah, and he's going to have to step into the obvious starting lineup now, and he's going to play significant minutes for the Phoenix Suns here tonight. So that was a player that I was looking at as well, as far as, you know, either blocks or rebounding. So I'm glad that you're on that one. That just gives me more confidence to get on that.
I might look for an alternative if I can find even like a 14 plus rebounds or 15 plus rebounds. I do think Biyombo could be in line for a huge game because he's been hovering around 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets boosted because he plays well to 34, maybe 35, he's had some 20 rebound games in the past. I mean, it's mostly with like Toronto and company, but still he has the ability, and we know Whiteside can't shoot. So he's just going to pack himself in the middle the entire time. Biyombo really could go for 16 and 16 here. So I do think if you want to look for alternative rebound numbers, you might find a very nice plus price.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like you said, 3 out of the last 4 games for Biyombo, he's gotten 13 or more rebounds for the Phoenix Suns. And now I think he's going to have to play significant minutes here tonight, like I said, we both said that. No JaVale McGee and no DeAndre Ayton for the Phoenix Suns. And I'll stay in that same game on that same team. And we talked about this on the NBA Gambling Pod this morning, and I love Devin Booker here tonight to get over 28.5 points here for the Phoenix Suns. These two teams did match up on Sunday against each other, and on Monday. And on 35 shots, Devin Booker took, he scored 33, didn't have a great shooting night. He was only 14 of 35 from the field, 3 of 13 from three-point land. He still scored 33 points, but there's something about Devin Booker going up against this Utah Jazz team that he loves to play against. And, you know, like I mentioned, against the Jazz, he had 33 in the last game. Previous to that, 31, 35, a couple of 25, 24-point games. He's also had a 59-point game against them, which was a couple of years ago. But I think, again, with all the guys that are out for the Phoenix Suns, Jay Crowder's out for this game. Campaign is out for this game. So I think that Chris Paul and especially Devin Booker are going to have to play some significant minutes here tonight for the Phoenix Suns. And if he's getting the same shot volume, I would not be surprised if he's getting anywhere in the range of 45 to 50 points. And we discussed this at volumes on the NBA Gambling Podcast this morning. It's been 2 years since Kobe Bryant and Gigi passed away. And you know that's going to be talked about a lot by teams and players that, you know, that followed Kobe Bryant very closely. And we know Devin Booker was one of those guys. So I think that he's just going to go out and ball out here tonight for the Phoenix Suns. So give me Devin Booker over 20, let's say 28 and a half at minus 115 right now points for the Phoenix Suns here tonight against the Utah Jazz, Scott.
Yeah, we know a lot of players had close relationships to Kobe off the court.
Yeah.
I didn't give out this play, but if you do want to go for another one, mm-hmm. Trae Young, I think, is going to have a huge night against Sacramento because yep. we've seen Young in the past have huge nights on Kobe night,
yep.
and the Kings cannot guard anybody. So if you do want to go for a long shot, Trae to score 40 or something, I do think Trae could be in line for a huge game. But looking at my second prop, it's going to be in the same game that we've been talking about for the entire prop cast so far, the Suns and Jazz game. And I'm taking the point guard. I'm taking Chris Paul double-double at minus 120 because how do I not? I don't really know what more I have to add. He's recorded at least 11 assists in each of the last four games. He's played at least 32 minutes in nine of his last 10 games. We mentioned how Phoenix is going to be a bit shorthanded. He might have to play more. He just played against Utah, had a casual 27-14-9. Chris Paul in the fourth quarter might be a top four player in the league. It's actually just insane how good he is in the fourth quarter of games.
Oh, yeah.
As a segue, because against Utah in that game, he was absolutely unbelievable in that fourth quarter. But you're going to give me double-double at minus 120 for a guy who's just walking into double-digit assists every game. Sure, give me the minus 120.
Yeah, I think we were talking about, or you had mentioned this in the Slack channel when they played each other on Monday, and he absolutely just took over in that fourth quarter.
It was disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's just getting better with age, and it's just crazy to see what he's able to do, especially in fourth quarters. And let's add like four straight games here where he's had double-digit assists. I believe he leads the league in assists right now.
I believe so, but he's definitely up there. Worst-case scenario is top three.
Top three, yeah. So can't argue against a play with Chris Paul getting assists, just in the high IQ guy for the Phoenix Suns, especially in those fourth quarters. For my next player prop, I'm going to go over to that Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs game here tonight. And I'm going to take one of the best players in the league so far this season, obviously Ja Morant, for the Memphis Grizzlies here tonight. There's another team that's battling injuries across the board, right? I still think that Desmond Bane is questionable here tonight. We know Kyle Anderson's out. Dylan Brooks is out. Tyus Jones is also out. So it's going to have to be the Ja Morant show. And it's been the Ja Morant show for the entire season, but in particular over the last four games here. Ja Morant has scored 35, 38, 33, 25 for the Memphis Grizzlies in a previous matchup this season against the San Antonio Spurs on New Year's Eve. Ja Morant scored 30 points in that game. He was 12 of 18 from the field in 32 minutes. They won that game by 13 points. And tonight I see his number listed at 29.5. I think that he's going to get over this number of 30 or more here tonight against San Antonio Spurs, which has been a team that has struggled a little bit against the point guard position over the past several weeks here. Let me see if I can filter this down and get you an exact number. They're giving up 22 points, but I think that, you know, especially like I said, with all the injuries, Ja Morant's going to have to step up like he has. So I'm going to take Morant over 29.5. And by the way, another guy that's a Kobe that had a close relationship with Kobe Bryant. So I think he'll go out and ball here tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Spurs are also on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Worth mentioning. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that blowout potential is there. But I think, again, Morant's a guy that can get this done in three quarters possibly for the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's get to your last one, Scott. What do you got?
So I actually picked a different game for once. So we're actually spreading it around a little bit. I think the annoying part, though, about trying to wait for back-to-back games is they upload the player props so late that you only have access to like four games for the majority of the time. And then they'll upload the other ones randomly.
Yep.
But there is one play I like in the Knicks Heat game. And it's really, really obscure, but I do like it. It's Gabe Vincent under 2.5 rebounds at minus 120, which sounds nuts because rebounds are kind of lucky, but Vincent has really been terrible at rebounding lately. He's recorded less than 3 rebounds in each of his last 6 games. Adebayo, of course, did return to the lineup, so he takes up a lot of space, and he's also averaging 9.9 rebounds per game. And one of the most important parts is the fact that Tyler Hero is supposed to come back off the COVID protocol tonight, which means Vincent should get a lot less minutes because Hero is clearly a better player. So the point is, Vincent was getting a bunch of minutes as the starting point guard with Lowry being out. He was playing 30-plus minutes per game. Now with Hero back, I expect Vincent to get a decent amount of, let's say, bench time in this game. I think he'll probably be hovering around 25 minutes, maybe a little bit less. But you're going to give me a guy under 2.5 rebounds who's gone under in each of his last 6 games, and Hero's back. He should get less minutes. I got to take the under 2.5.
You went inside the well to find this one.
I only had 3 games. I had 3 games on the overnight. I was doing my best.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're going to find these type of gems, why not? I mean, yeah, 100%. I think the theme kind of has been finding that value in guys that either are out of the lineup or coming back and finding those player props like you just did with Gabe Vincent, especially with Tyler Hero coming back and obviously the stats that all back it up. So I can't argue against it here. I'm staying chalky here today. I mean, I've highlighted 2 star players or all-star players. And I got to go with the reigning MVP here tonight, Nikola Jokic. Give me the over 47.5 points, rebounds, and assist for Joker. I mean,
it's going to be a bloodbath.
It's going to be, this guy should have his way tonight against the interior of the Brooklyn Nets, or lack thereof. I mean, last night against the Detroit Pistons, 28 points, 21 rebounds, 9 assists. He's dropped near triple doubles in about, 6 straight games here. He's been a couple stats off. Scores at will, so he should have his way tonight. Just don't see who's going to be able to stay in front of the Joker here tonight. This was brought up tonight, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Scott, as well, as that I said to Terrell that what do you think about James Harden and Jokic to record a triple-double here tonight?
I think the only thing stopping you is going to be blowout potential because the Nets were in a competitive game for the most part against the Lakers. I know there's no travel involved, but they're already shorthanded. It's a back-to-back. I know it's a back-to-back for Denver as well, but that Nets supporting cast is just so terrible. Now, I'm not saying that the Nuggets supporting cast is great by any means either, but do you expect that to be a really high-scoring game or no? Because both the Nets and the Nuggets aren't exactly up-tempo teams.
I think the first half probably is higher scoring between these two squads. If you kind of just break it down by just filter it by first halves, I think that we'll probably see a higher scoring first half and then maybe see some tired legs in the second half because both these teams are on a back-to-back situation. I think this is the third game in 4 nights for both of these teams. So I think we saw it last night where the first half total went over for the Lakers and the Nets in the second half, especially that fourth quarter. For both of these teams, really scored down. 32 points scored combined in the Nets game, and then 33 for the Denver Nuggets. So I think the scoring will probably happen in the first half for these teams.
I think that's the concern, is that you're looking at a second half with tired legs.
Yeah.
And I feel like the projections of, Jokic has 15-5-5 in the first half, or Harden has 16-6-5.
Yeah.
And then you see 40 points in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, all your props and the actual pace that you're on dies. So I feel like that's the concern. You talk about a 2-pick parlay for that?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a thought that we're throwing out there. Just put a parlay together for both of them. Just like a pizza bet. Nothing exciting. Just because it's James Harden and Nikola Jokic, triple-double guys.
Yeah, I would compare the price between the 2 triple-doubles and the same-game parlay odds if you just parlay the rebounds, assists, and points and everything like that. So you can get a 6-pick there. Compared to the regular 2-pick for a triple-double. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the odds are going to be in terms of which one's better or not, but just remember to do that so you can actually compare. Because every now and then, you can find a bit of disparity where a triple-double is going to be plus 250, but you plug in the actual numbers and you can find plus 350
Yeah,
and you can just take that instead. So just keep that in mind if you're looking for triple doubles.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great point. That's our picks. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll identify best bets and get any final thoughts. So we'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The only thing that's more exciting than watching the NFL playoffs is prop swapping the NFL playoffs. Last weekend was PropSwap's biggest week ever, as bettors from across the country cashed in on the Super Bowl futures. Like Zach from Colorado, who sold a $100 150-1 Super Bowl ticket for $1,500. Zach locked in his profit when he turned his $100 bet into $1,500, and the buyer got better odds than any sports book. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity fee to stay in the know with all the big sales and red hot tickets for sale, a loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. Also brought to you by Better Fantasy. The fantasy season may be over, but action is still coming in on the Better Fantasy app. Download their free-to-play app today to be on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way. It's totally free to play. You'll earn better credits and completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide in all 50 states. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And don't forget to download the SGPN app. The SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all of our free picks and podcasts. And don't forget to toss up an app review and download the SGPN app today. All right, coming off of the break, let's get into our best bets. I'll give you the floor first, sir. Best bet for tonight, what do you got?
So, no offense to Gabe Vincent. I'm going back to the Suns game. I'm looking at the first play I gave out. It's going to be Biombo, and I'm taking him over 10.5 rebounds. I know it's juicy at minus 140. I really have no idea how I'm supposed to say no to this. You have no Ayton, no McGee. He's put up 13-plus rebounds in three of the last four. He just had 13 rebounds against Utah. Gobert's not playing. I know Whiteside has no offensive talent, so Biombo should not be in foul trouble at any point in this game.
Yeah.
He's just going to sit in the paint and guard Whiteside, so he should be in perfect spot for rebounding. And the Suns, generally with Bridges, play a bit smaller. Mm-hmm. So he shouldn't have to really compete much with his teammates for boards. I think Biombo finishes with 15. But 10.5, I got to take that all day, every day.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue against it. Again, I think that he should see a lot of minutes here tonight, like you highlighted, without McGee, without Eaton. So he's going to have to ink in that front end and guarding Hassan Whiteside in the paint. The rebounding opportunities to have will be there. He's done that all throughout his career. So, definitely should get over this number. For my best bet, I'm going to go with Devin Booker here tonight. Give me the over 28.5 points for Booker. Again, the injuries that I talked about, 29.5 for Booker. The injuries that we talked about with the guys being out, Crowder, Payne, a couple other guys that he's going to have to play minutes here tonight. Got up 35 shots against the Jazz on that Monday night game. Probably see some similar shot volume, but I think he should have a better shooting night. And just added to the fact about, you know, Kobe Bryant here tonight, these guys are going to go out and play. And I think Devin Booker is a prime candidate for that as well, as Ja Morant. And also, as you highlighted, Scott Trey Young also should have a big game. So my best bet tonight, Devin Booker over 29.5 points, minus 104. That's going to bring us to the end of it. Scott, any final thoughts or anything else you see for the NBA slate tonight?
Well, that was the thing, is I remember for the last probcast, I believe my plays themselves were okay, but then I gave out some leans after the thing in this segment, and I think I won almost everything here, where I talked about triple doubles for DeJounte Murray, and I talked about a Trae Young 35-plus. I believe he scored 37 in that game. So this segment has actually been decent after I gave out the picks. But as of right now, I'm mostly just looking at Trae Young, and I feel like the Kings are going to give a better effort after the no-show they had yesterday. Mm-hmm. But Atlanta seems to have turned it around a little bit, which is a good sign. The Kings might be without Fox anyway, so it could get ugly. If they're without Fox, maybe look into a Halliburton assist number if you can find it, because if he will be playing point guard, we know Halliburton is very selfless with the ball, so he might be able to go for a double-double. I'd look for something like that if Fox is out. But Trey, I can really see a 40 bomb here, because Jaylen Brown had 30 last game. Jason Tatum on the same team at 36. So the Kings, we know, can't guard anybody. And Young is definitely, let's just say, willing to shoot the ball a bunch. I think there's a good chance Young can go for 35 or 40 in this game. As I said in the last game against, I'm trying to remember who they were playing against. I said that. Was that against
Atlanta?
That
against? Let me see here quick.
I'm trying to remember who that was against. Was it against Charlotte?
The last game that they played against Charlotte.
Young at 37. I forgot who they were playing.
He had 30 against Charlotte. Miami, had 28 against Miami.
Game before that?
It was probably the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah, he had 37.
Timberwolves, he had 37.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was that one. Yeah, I remember because the total was in the 230s. I like the over 35 and a half or 35. I like plus 300. I don't know what the odds are tonight. I got to check on that. I can check that right now.
Plus 220.
For a 35?
Yeah. On FanDuel.
Okay. I think that's tempting. What's the odds on 40?
Plus 560.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out if that's actually worth it or not.
I think 35 is probably more safer. Let me see when's the last time Trey Young scored 40.
I was kind of hoping for something in the sixes or sevens if I was going to get 40 plus. But yeah, 560 is a bit short for me. Yeah. I would probably just go for 35 plus at plus 220.
Yeah, I think 35 is like kind of that threshold right now for Trey Young. But, you know, I mean, he had 56 against the Portland Trailblazers. So if we think that
the Sacramento Kings
have the same backcourt defense as the Portland Trailblazers, then the potential is there for sure.
Yeah, but I'll go 35 plus. I'll hope he has a Tatum game. I mean, Tatum, as we said before, the Celtics won by 50 plus. He still scored 36.
Yeah.
So I do think that Young could have 35 plus.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. I'm going to try to put some parlays together here with these plus odds, or just play them straight up with just buying up the numbers for Devin Booker, John
Morant. You're doing a Kobe parlay?
Yeah. And we had talked about this morning, and Terrell kind of led me to this, about the Kobe parlay with those three guys. So, we'll see if we can get some nice juicy numbers out here for tonight. Anything else, Scott? And let the people know where they can find you, man.
So I don't really have anything else. I was trying to find some stuff, but a couple of injuries are still up in the air. So I'm not going to jump the gun, and then it turns out somebody's playing or not playing and you kind of get screwed by it. So I'm also going to Trae Young as the alternative play here.
Yeah.
Jokic's triple double, I think, is tempting. You mentioned it before. I think it's around plus 175 unless you throw in to win with it, but that's going to be a little bit dicey. You can find me though at Reichel Radio on Twitter, R-E-I-C-H-E-L Radio. Besides that, doing my daily YouTube live stream on the Winners and Winers channel. So check that out. That airs at 3 o'clock every weekday. Besides that, got my daily pick show every night on the same Winners and Winers YouTube page. Still doing a bunch of editing for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Still doing article writing and still guest appearing in podcasts. So keeping busy, and hopefully we'll make some money tonight.
Yeah, 100%. A great night of games in the NBA here tonight. Definitely find Scott on his YouTube channel and his show that they do, and also on his Twitter account. Make sure to follow Scott there. That is going to bring us to the end of the PropCast. Scott, you and Terrell are going to be doing the NBA pod tomorrow?
Yes. And I do have to ask you one question before we wrap up, though.
Yeah.
Because I asked you this last week, and I don't know what your strategy was. But you're hanging in there. Did you hedge on Green Bay, and are you hedging on the Rams?
I did not hedge on Green Bay.
Update every week.
I got very, very lucky there.
Okay.
At this point, even though I think they're going to win the game, the Niners, I think I'm going to have to get down on at least the Rams to either win the Super Bowl and then hedge from there, or maybe just like play them on the money line this week, even though I think they're going to win. But what are you thinking? Do you think the Niners pull it off or the Rams win?
I think it's a really tough call because the Rams on paper are better.
Yeah.
But of course, McVay's been owned by Shanahan
for
pretty much the entire career that they've had. So it's tough. I still don't exactly trust Jimmy G. Stafford played really well against Tampa, but the defensive line in particular for the 49ers absolutely destroyed Stafford in that Week 18 game,
yeah,
which is why the second half completely fell on its head. I expect it to be really competitive. I really think it's a tough call because it's the third matchup this season between this between the teams. It can go either way. Boy, it's really a tough call because on one hand, you want to let it ride because it is the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. But on the other hand, it's your money and you want it now. So it's up to you, man. I think you can go either way.
Yeah, I'm going to dig into a little more, but I think I'm going to have to hedge it at least to cover my initial investment of what I put down on some of these futures. So
now my question for you is, would you be willing to gamble as a hedge on some look-ahead Super Bowl lines, or is that too premature?
I think the NFC is probably going to well, without Kansas City there.
I'm assuming we're penciling Kansas City in, but if Cincinnati shocks the world and beats Kansas City, I'm assuming you expect the Niners to beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't hedge that anyway?
No.
So would you do a look-ahead line right now and take Kansas City over? Because I know that FanDuel and some other books have posted look-ahead lines already. Of course, if that matchup doesn't happen, you simply get your money back. But there might be something you want to look into.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I'll have to dig around on FanDuel or on see if the DraftKings has it as well on the look-ahead line. But yeah, definitely a tough predicament, we can say. But man, I'm trying not to be biased, but I think the 49ers do pull it off. But I think at this point, I'm going to have to put something down on.
I was going
to
say, by the way, they have forecasts where I'm pretty sure if it doesn't happen, you'll lose. Mm-hmm. But if the Chiefs beat the Niners right now, it's plus 430.
I think that's a good number.
Of course, in that case, not the actual look-ahead spreads, you'd lose if that matchup does not happen.
Right, yeah.
But I am curious if you will start to dig and maybe find some ways of potentially hedging, because I'm assuming if Kansas City makes it to the Super Bowl, whatever the line is, money's going to fly in on Kansas City.
Yeah, so the thing is right now, I do have a future at around 5-1 on the Chiefs as well.
Oh, okay. So that I was not aware of. Okay,
So the only thing I do have a little liability is that I don't have anything on the Rams right now. So I'm trying to possibly
the Rams can beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing with Patrick Mahomes is going to be is that if you're able to generate some type of pressure to on him like Tampa Bay did last year, I think that you're having an opportunity to beat him. Now, if we get the rematch between the Niners and the Kansas City Chiefs, do I trust Kyle Shanahan not to fuck it up for a third or fourth time? I'm not very confident on that. But
see, you should be rooting for that because if the Niners and Shanahan blow it again, that means they're winning in the fourth quarter, so you can hit the eject button.
Yeah. Rogers had to take a live bet on
a live hedge. They're up 14. You're like, I've seen this before. Yeah. Give me the Chiefs money line at like plus 300.
Yeah, that'll be a good number to dig around for sure. But yeah, if I hedge anything, I will put it on my Twitter. If not, we will discuss it again next week when we know who is going to be in the Super Bowl. But with that being said, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the PropCast today. Like I said, Scott and Terrell will be back for the NBA Gambling Podcast tomorrow. We'll be back for the PropCast for the NBA and the championship games this weekend for the NFL for the PropCast on Friday as well. So look out for that. Till then, good luck with your bets tonight. Let's break these books off and let it ride.